Okay. The church say amen. I don't know if Miami Dolphin play today, but just like, you know, just say amen like you know they're going to win. Amen? Now, family worship center, you just got that right. I say let the church say amen. Not these four walls. See, these four walls are just a place that we assemble ourselves. So when we go out that door, we are the church. Everybody said amen, know exactly what I'm talking about, amen. The little short, bald-headed man is up here today. And our pastor, loving to death, but I told him, man, give me a week or two. He called me about, what, Thursday, Friday? It's all good. Be you ready at all times. I put myself out there. I told him, if you ever need me, give me a call. So when he called and he needed me, what am I going to say? It's good to be here at Family Worship Center. I know we all doing good, looking good, because I'm looking at you all. Y'all looking at me, probably wondering what I'm going to do, but it's mutual. I'm wondering what you go do too. To the Family Worship Center members here today, friends, all of our saints, ain'ts, if you're here, you're at the right place to hear God's word. When I say ain't, trust me, everybody is not saved. But I pray there's something to be said today that will stir up in your heart to give you a desire to want to go on and be in God's kingdom, amen? That's our ultimate in this thing that we call life. I told Ms. Eva that, just keep Pastor Bruce in prayer. You know, it's tough out there, and when you're out there doing something positive, the devil is always trying to hinder you. My youngest daughter, she's at work, Walgreens. I told her, I said, that's a good thing. Because I am not going to take care of you all my life, amen? You just won't be as deep in my pocket, but you never get completely out like my mom. My oldest daughter, she's her fiance, they're out of town. And my wife, she got that the flu or bug or something, everybody getting sick. So I told her, I'm not in the room with you, not because I don't love you. I just don't love what you have. I don't want it right now. Amen. But just for a quick minute, praise is what I do when I want to get close to you. I lift my hands in prayer. Praise is who I am. I will praise him while I can. I'll lift my hand in total praise. Whoa. I vow to praise. Happy or sad, I praise you in all that I do, because praise is what I do, 'cause I owe it all to you. I told Miss Eva, just leave me about 3 minutes and I'll just do that little piece and be done. Amen. Now for the word. In my theological studies, abundant my brother and others, I also went to Knox Theological Seminary down in Fort Lauderdale. This scripture will come from 1 Peter, 5th chapter, verses 6 through 11. I'm going to read it all, Ed. You can go up, put it up, boom, boom, boom. At the end, put verse 1 back up. 1 Peter, 5th chapter, verses 6 through 11. Now, my proposition, and when someone in the pulpit says their proposition, it's just like a thesis is what I'll be talking about. So once I give you my proposition, if you don't get anything else while I'm listening to what I said, get that, because you can take that and go out and tell what was said today. Amen? So you drop your head, you miss some of my message. If you get the proposition, that's enough where you can take it back home and see if the little short bald-headed guy was lying to you. Do your own study, amen? One thing I found out, not everybody put time in before they stand up here. We do, though. We have to. But if you know what's going on, you'll know whether I'm telling the truth or not, amen? There are some false prophets. The Bible said so. More than what you can imagine. More than what you think. They're here. But when you are deeply rooted in God's word, and someone says something you know is wrong, and you give them that look, I don't know about that, preacher. But if you don't understand, haven't been doing any studying, how will you know? Amen. 1 Peter, 5th chapter, verses 6 through 11. Okay, 1 Peter, and it reads, thusly, yes, that's it, that's what I'm looking for. Now, I was sitting down at my table. Whenever I'm at my table, I have my concordance, I have my commentaries, I have about two or three different Bibles. I even have the children's Bible, because I read that sometimes to give me just a better understanding of the entire picture. Then as I move on up to the New James or King James and all these other Bibles, I almost got the gist of it. So whenever I got this spread out on my table or in my room, my daughter may come by, my wife may come by, they know, leave daddy alone. Daddy may snap at you because he might be in the middle of doing something that he might, but I love everybody, I love them too, and I go back and tell them. But that, now, but see, after growing up and being with me, they know, daddy must be preaching somewhere. Daddy must be teaching somewhere. So daddy trying to get this together. Amen. Verse 6. So humble yourself under the mighty power of God. And all at the right time he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. In his kindness, God called you to share in eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation, all power to him forever. Amen. Verse 6. I thought about, what would I call this? What would I title it? Knowing Jesus Cares. That sounds good. Submit to God, resist the devil. That sounds good. So whatever you decide to title this so that you can remember it, you do that. Before we get into this, let me tell you something that I came up with called the powerful ease. Three E's, no matter what situation you're in, what's going on. The first E, examine your situation. You have to examine your situation, whether it be a financial challenge, health challenge, physical, or even mentally, psychological. You must know what's going on that you're dealing with in order to fight it. How can you correct something you don't know what you're trying to correct? You can't go to a war. One side has nuclear power, you got a BB gun. That ain't happening. Examine your situation. The next E I came up with was this. Exercise your faith. We all are Christians, God-fearing, we're believers. We have faith in God, know that he can do anything but fail. Exercise your faith. And the final E is expect God to move. There must be some expectation. If you don't expect for him to move, why are you wasting your time giving him praise and worship Sunday after Sunday every day? Why would you praise a wall or some false god that you don't expect for anything to happen for you? Amen? You must have some expectation. When I do something right, when I was growing up, I expect for mom to give me a little piece of that sweet potato pie, look bigger, make it look bigger. But when I do something wrong, I expect for mom to, I got a little big, not mama though, go across them dirt road, get some of them pines, Australian pine. I can see it in the face now. I'm having flashbacks. Feet ain't big enough. Gee, but I turned out all right. I expect that kind of stuff. So you must examine your situation, exercise your faith, and expect God to move for anything. Now look at verse 6. So humble yourself under the mighty power of God. And at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. As we take a look at this book of 1 Peter, we find out that this is a letter that was written by the Apostle Peter to these Christians that were being persecuted. And they were being persecuted for their belief. Now, the early church had no doubt concerning the authenticity of Peter. What is this book about? It's about the Christians being persecuted. So who is this man we call Peter? What is Peter? Who is Peter? Peter was one of the closest followers to Jesus. Peter was a spokesman. He was a leader. He was a wordsman. Peter, what I like to call, he wasn't a wallflower. Yeah, y'all look at me like I'm the only one who know what a wallflower is, right? Y'all know what a wallflower is? A wallflower. If you went out partying, you was at a club, and you went on the dance floor, you was just hanging out on the wall, leaning, you were considered a wallflower. Well, don't worry about Peter. Peter would be in the middle, in the thick of things, amen? Peter was always about it. Peter was somebody to be reckoned with. Now, we realize that as a Christian, talking about being humble, returning good for evil sounds noble and sounds very good. You agree? We know that it's the right thing to do when somebody doing something to you to forgive them. But it's kind of hard to love someone you know that can't stand your guts. It's hard to love somebody that you know don't care anything about you. It's hard, but we as Christians, should we do that? Yes. Man, you are talking about me every time I turn around. I know you don't like me. And I'm supposed to love you? Yes. Trying to stab me in my back. I'm supposed to love you? Yes. It's hard, but yes, we're supposed to do it as Christians. See, once you are a Christian, there is a big bullseye on your back. Big bullseye. Your target. You think the devil caring about those that are out there skinning and grinning, doing everything they're supposed to do, but it's not right, that's not in line with the word of God? He wants people like you, you and me, that's coming to worship and praise his name. The devil will be on your trail. You don't believe it? Look at your life. Every time you try to do something right, what happens? For it says that the devil is like a roaring lion going to and fro, seeking to whom he can devour. The devil wants to destroy your life. He wants to do everything he can to keep you from making it in. But when God left, he left us a way out. Amen. So it's hard to be humble, but we have to. Being humble, it means that you don't, when you do something, you don't have to have your name in neon lights flashing on the road. Yeah, look, big me, look what I did. Brother Drayton, yeah, that's my name up there. Every time you go down there, what's that? Southwest Warfield, whatever, you see my name. No, no, no. What about those ones that do everything they can do and do a lot of work in the back that nobody knows about? Showing humility. They don't mind. They're doing what it takes for the program to go on, for the ministry to succeed, to go on. They don't care about, they're not out in the forefront. Being humble, showing humility. You're not always I, me. Let somebody be exalted. Verse 6 is just saying that in due time, you're going to go through some things, but it's saying in due time, God will exalt you and honor you. Heard Grandma say that Jesus is the slowest man that I ever seen that's always right on time. Sometimes I wonder, Grandma, I'd be praying, seem like he turned a deaf ear to me. But whenever he comes and he makes things better and I get through the dilemma that I'm in, I said, thank you, Lord, you're right on time. For I realized that even young me, I'm not old school, I'm not middle school, I'm somewhere in the middle. Of course, the scale is tilted a little bit towards old school at my age. What y'all laughing for? I thank God. I think I look pretty good for my age. I don't know. Well, I think it and nobody else think it. Amen. Even when we're going through some things, we have to understand that God is there. He'll always be there. As we look at the second verse, give all your worries and cares to God. For he cares about you. Now, God does care about me. He does care about you. He cares about all of us. What do you mean? We just went through several hurricanes, amen? Irma. And the truth be told, they said it was going to hit on the East Coast. A lot of people, some of my fraternity brothers, packed up, booked up, took off, heading north, going to the west. What did Irma do? Shifted to the west. So one of my frat brothers, he called me. He said, hey, Brother Drayton, man, they tell me that thing that's shifted. What should I do? I said, keep riding, brother. Don't turn around. Don't come back. You'll be coming right into it. Why didn't you leave, man? It wasn't in my spirit to leave. God didn't tell me to leave. I consulted him. Now, I'm not crazy. I put my shutters up. It just wanted me to leave. If it was, I would have beat you there. But don't come back, man. But they said it wasn't coming this way. Well, that's what they say. But God says it's going that way. Amen. But even at that, even with all the devastation, look how many people that lost their homes, lost all type of things, but they still have their lives. God does care, Family Worship Center. He does. Even though we may be going through something, like grandma said, if you ain't in the middle of a storm, keep living. You're going to go through it or you're coming out of it, one of the three. The great, late Jackie Robinson had a quote that said, life is not a spectator sport. Man that born of a woman going to go through some stuff, amen? Full of trouble. As I move on a little further, I find out that God does care. Let me tell you a little bit about what I call grandma theology. Grandma didn't have a PhD. She didn't have an MA. But she did have a BA. She was a born-again Christian, amen? Grandma learned from the school of hard knocks. She learned some things in life that she wanted to share with us so that we don't have to go through some of the stuff grandma did. But grandma used to call Jesus Christ growing up a storm calmer. Man, grandma done lost her mind. What do you mean? But when I thought about Jesus when he was in the boat with the disciples, and he had just left, and these guys were professional fishermen. They knew what they was doing. But then when the cosmic started acting crazy, it got really dark, lightning started flashing, wind started blowing, the ship they was in, the boat started rocking. The disciples and the boys in there, they got scared. They thought they was gonna perish. Even though they had been with Jesus, they saw Jesus, they knew Jesus was capable of doing the things he was capable of doing, they got scared. Jesus was laying in the boat on a cushion, sleeping like a baby. Somebody said, we better wake up Jesus. So they went and got Jesus and woke him up, and Jesus stood up, looked around, and, oh ye, of what little faith. Jesus stood up in his sovereign authority, and he spoke to the wind, and spoke to all the cosmic form and nature, and said, peace, be still. And everything began to calm down. The wind calmed down. The lightning stopped flashing. It began to clear up. So what are you saying, brother preacher? I'm saying that not that these men were not believers, but they forgot about their faith. They forgot about it. It's not that you don't believe, but sometimes when stuff happens to us, all of a sudden, we forget about our faith. True story. Have a friend of mine who's going on to be with the Lord. We used to take karate lessons together in Fort Pierce. My brother, Dr. Tony Drayton, and some others, right here from Indiantown, we ride to Fort Pierce to take karate lessons. So we got to be pretty good. Got up to my brown belt, didn't take my black belt test, although I know I would have passed. And this guy was at school. He was really good, about 6-something. Good, but he was in a fight. Had a little old fella, short and smaller than me, putting something on him, tearing him up, but it was one-on-one. So we was out there watching, we was coaching, you know, from the side, but it was one-on-one, so we didn't want to mess with him. And this boy was beating him, saying, Jesse, we know you're capable of beating that little fella, man. Think, use your art, your craft. And all of a sudden it clicked. He spent, gave him a couple of side kicks, and then the fella was down. I'm like, you forgot what you had learned until it came back. What I'm saying is these men, they were believers, but they forgot about their faith. But when Jesus stood up and used his authority, then they realized, oh, that's right, that's Jesus. We do believe in him. So when things happen all of a sudden, sometimes we do forget. But usually the ones that are calm and can think usually come out ahead, amen? And you got to know who you are dealing with, amen? Jesus does not make mistakes. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. He's omniscient. He knows everything. And he's omnipresent, which means he's everywhere at the same time. Even as I speak right now, he's in California with my brother, amen? Verse 8. Now I just realized why it was so hard to see in the wrong set. Amen. Yeah. Verse 8. Stay alert. Watch out for your enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stay alert. Some Bibles would say stay sober and be vigilant. And that word sober is not talking about staying away from intoxication, even though it will suffice when you're talking about intoxicated, because the drunk man doesn't think straight. How you know, brother preacher? Well, if you take one step forward and three steps backwards trying to get home, somebody ain't thinking straight. Amen. What it means to be sober and vigilant is to be prepared, to be alert, because the devil is roaming this world. And let me talk to my brothers right quick. All my men. Don't think that Satan or the devil is going to come at you with horns and a pitchfork. No, 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 no. My brothers, this is how he'll come at you. He'll come at you with someone that has a shape like a Coca-Cola bottle, have a face like Vivica Fox, Janet Jackson, and Beyonce all wrapped in one. He'll come at you with that little sweet sounding voice. No, don't go home to your wife. Come with me. Don't you listen to that. That's how he manipulates you. And seeing like every time you get an opportunity to do something like that, the door is there. My brothers, let me tell you something. Satan will fix it so that you what? Get caught every time. You may think you're getting away just a little while. But eventually, God will pull the rug up under you and you fall down and you can't do nothing but look up and say, what? Lord, have mercy. No, you should have said, Lord, have mercy before you did what you did. Always consult Jesus Christ first. Yeah, ladies, y'all looking at me too. Yeah, I got you. I got one for y'all too. Yeah, ladies, when the devil come at y'all, he might come looking like Tom Cruise, Denzel Washington, Robert Redford, all wrapped in one. The story is the same. If he came at you looking like Mighty Joe Young or Attila Hahn or some big grotesque looking thing, no, you wouldn't even follow him. But if he come at you looking like that, oh yeah, you might just give in. I'm saying that the devil is good at what he does and he is on his job. If we did ours like the devil did, it'll be a much better world. He knows what he's doing. He can quote scriptures. He has power. But I'm just saying, because I got some good looking people in my family, so you know. Y'all do too, amen. Just be prepared, stay vigilant, that's what that means. And I was thinking about this when it came to me dealing with being humble and showing humility, being able to do things and not get credit for it and not get mad, not get puffed up. And I thought about something that came to me, one of my fraternity brothers, he's a pastor in Virginia, and he was telling me this, and I hope I get it right. He said, well, Brother Drake, let me tell you something. It was a little story about a man that got caught in quicksand. You know how quicksand is. The more you dig in it, the faster you sink. It's hard to get out of, right? Now, let me throw up an umbrella right here. He said that someone that was a believer in the believing, I said Confucius, saw this man digging and wiggling in quicksand. And his remark to this guy was, you should stay out of such places as that. Poor fellow. But then a Buddhist came by and saw this helpless man, and he said, let this be a lesson to the rest of you. Don't be in places like quicksand. Then this Muhammad saw this helpless guy struggling, trying to stay afloat, trying to save his life, and he said, it is the will, it's the will of Allah. I know I don't want to believe in a God like that want me to die like that. Now. Then there was this Hindu. The Hindu saw this man out there, and he said, cheer up, friend. You will return to earth in another form. Okay, reincarnation. Am I going to return as a goat, a cow, a roach? What? But when Jesus passed by, Jesus reached over, bent over towards the guy and gave him his hand. He said, grab my hand, brother, and let me pull you to safety because I do care about your life. How many of us here care about others? I often tell my family, my girls growing up, you know what? It's okay to help other people. But is it okay to help them to bring a detriment to yourself? Is it okay to help them as long as it doesn't hurt you or help you or hinder you? Is it okay? Well, family worship, y'all looking so perplexed. Why are y'all so holy today? What's going on? Is it all right? I said, help someone if you can. For God smiles on people that help others. Jesus came here as a what? Servant. He came to serve. We're talking about the most powerful person that I know, Jesus Christ. Now let me tell you this. Dealing with that in mind, I remember reading and going through my studies, and I found out that this man of God, Jesus Christ, if we look at John, don't turn. If you go home and read John 13, 1 through 11, it talk about how Jesus girded himself with the towel. And he began to wash the disciples' feet because he knew his time was at hand. Now, he got to Peter to wash Peter's feet. Peter said, no, Lord Jesus, you're not going to, no, not you, wash my feet. Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you can have no part with me. But Lord, not you. You know, Peter and the law, you know, Lord, you my buddy. We like two peas in a pod, ride or die. We down like four flat tires. Don't wash my feet, no. If I don't wash your feet, you have no part of me. So Jesus said, when the person go and bathe, that's the only thing that's unclean. So I have to wash your feet. And my mind went back when I was a little old boy. My mom used to go to this church, and I can remember this little small green basin. I was just a knee-high to a grasshopper. I was a little boy, but I remember. Ella Murray, I think, was his name, and he used to throw this towel on the side of him. And long time ago, mom might not remember, but I do. And he would take this little pitch, and my mom's feet being there, he'd pull the water on it. You know what I said when I was small? You know what I said? I'ma tell my daddy. That's what I said. But as I grew up, began to study for myself, I realized what he was doing. Then I ran across this scripture here, and I said, oh, okay, so this preacher was, I'm not telling you I'll take your shoes off, but I haven't watched nobody, I didn't tell you to do that. I am showing you the humility of a man by the name of Jesus. Jesus. Now, Jesus knew his time was at hand. He knew his time wasn't long. He knew they was coming to get him. He knew why he came into this world. He came to die. He came to die for the sins of the world, for the sins of the church, for your sins, my sins. He gave us an outlet. Jesus came here for a reason. When Jesus was doing some teaching, and all of a sudden he came across the Valley of Kidron, went to the other side, guess who was with him? Judas. Yeah, old Judas that we know went up to no good. Judas came with a detached army, taking them to this garden on the other side of the Valley of Kidron, because Jesus used to go there, and he used to go there and teach his disciples. So there was a good chance that he would be there. So when they got there, I told y'all about Peter. Jesus knew why they was there. When we got there was a man by the name of M-A-L-C-H-U-S, Malchus. Who is that, Brother Drayton? Well, he is the soldier that when he reached out and got ready to get Jesus, Peter took his sword and cut his ear off. Peter, Jesus said, Peter, no. The reason God was telling Peter not to do that and do that, because what if they would have fought? What if they would have had a big dispute, a big chaotic war, and some people would have lost their lives? To fulfill the scripture, he had to not kill him, because Jesus said to the Father, I have lost not a one that you've given me. Amen? Now, there's another school of thought to that too. From a biblical and spiritual perspective, what is our ear? What do we do with our ear? We hear. What is the sword? The sword is considered what? Something you cut with? It can also be considered the word of God. So was this trying to hinder what must take place? I'm just saying. See, whenever I'm doing some studying, I look at it from different angles. I read some scriptures and chapters before and after. It could very well be. I have no idea. But I truly believe that when he did what he did to try to cut his ear off, Jesus said, no, you cannot do that, Peter. Peter was that type of person that you didn't want to mess with either. So what you're saying, Brother Peter, I'm saying that if God laid on your heart to help someone, and you see that you're not going to hurt yourself or your family, help. God does not like people that are puffed up. But if you can help somebody, help. Amen? Now, I was always taught as a little boy, before I bring this to an abrupt end, son, whenever you stand up before a crowd or a congregation in church, always make sure that you tell them about a man by the name of Jesus that died on the cross. Let me tell you this. When they took Jesus, because they was coming to get him, and yes, he knew that they had to die, when they took him to a hill called Calvary, when they took him to the old rugged cross, now you got Jesus being nailed to this cross, stretched out. You got these two thieves on both sides, but now doing Roman law. There go grandma again, this grandma theology. She said, baby, they never broke a bone in his body. Now, doing Roman law, you cannot be out hanging on the cross, being crucified, dying after a certain time. So what would they do? Let me tell you. Back up, Brother Drayton, back up. When you're on the cross being nailed, your hands are nailed to the cross, feet nailed to the cross. Well, you could pull yourself up to allow a little more oxygen to be in your chest and lungs. This allows you to live a little longer. But if they came and broke your legs, then you couldn't push yourself up, amen? So these Roman soldiers, when they came to make sure everybody on the cross was dead, they go grandma theology again, they came and they looked at the first thief, and they broke his leg. He needed to go ahead and die, get him out of the way. The other thief broke his leg. He needed to die. Get him out of the way. But when they got to Jesus, I think about what grandma said when she said, no man takes his life. He has the power to lay his life down. He has the power to raise it up. No man takes Jesus' life. He lays it down willingly. When they looked up at Jesus, when they got ready to try to break his leg, they realized that he was already dead. He had already given up the ghost. He had already dropped his head and locked up his shoulder. He was dead. He died. So that the scripture can be fulfilled, they didn't take his life. He died, he died, he died. Someone said he died until the moon started drifting away in blood. Someone said he died out there. He died so much till the sun refused to shine. This was awesome. This was somebody that must have been special for all of these things to happen that's dying on the cross. He died, family worship, I tell you. He died. He gave up the ghost, dropped his head and locked up his shoulder. But I'm glad that according to scripture, it didn't stop there. Because when I kept reading, it said 3 days later, he what? Got up. He got up. With all power in his hand, he got up. With loving power, he got up. With healing power, he got up to raise the dead. He got up so that you and you and you don't have to be friendless. He got up because he is a friend for the friendless. He's a mother for the motherless. And he'll be the father for the fatherless. Do you give him a chance? He is Almighty God. He is who he say he is. Trust and believe in him. He has all power in his hand. I believe in him. And I believe Family Worship Center does too. I don't think y'all coming here Sunday after Sunday just for a show. I don't think y'all coming out here just for nothing. And some of y'all I've seen since my little girl was that small. I remember we was over there. This wasn't even here. My kids were so antsy and moving around. They didn't have the little daycare thing like they do now. I wish they would've. Man, them jokers be making noise and them getting embarrassed because they wouldn't be hushed so the preacher can preach. And Miss Thelma Waters, my aunt, she said, son, let me tell you something. Them kids can't be still that long. Take them outside. Give them a break. Bring them again. But look what God has done for the Family Worship Center. Amen. And there's a lot of history here. And I'm not going to do it because it'll take too long. I remember talking to your dad. I'll say, Mr. Hall. You know, he's a big guy. Yeah, little Drayton. What I'm going to do? Stop calling me little. You're bigger than me. He say, man, I'm trying to get a house. Well, you know, the biggest problem, Drayton, is that poor folk can't get the down payment. So you save that, then you'll be all right. He wasn't lying. That's exactly why I had a problem doing. There's a lot of wisdom came right out of here. And some more coming out. Just be humble, be accepted. See, I don't pray that I preach. I pray that people will be receptive to God's word. And I'm not used to this here, but I'm talking down here, but boy, I can get used to it though, amen? It's all good. And in closing, remember this. No matter what anyone says, if you are born by a woman and you come into this world, one day you will surely leave here. One day you're going to die. People say, well, we know how we come into this world, but we don't know how we leave it. I often say, Lord, if you go take me, and I can't tell you what to do, take me in the pulpit. Take me singing a good old gospel song with me pulling that thing, yeah. Or let me just sleep away. You know, all of us, we don't want to suffer. Lord, I don't want to suffer. I don't want to drown. I don't want to be hurting and pain. But look at what they've done to our Lord and Savior. Look at all the pain he endured for us, and we can't take a little something. Amen, somebody. One day you will leave here. The question is, where will you spend eternity when you transition? You're gonna transition. I didn't think my dad would ever die. I mean, I knew he would. But I was telling my daughter the other day, I got some gray, that better be green. I got some gray hairs on my wrist. And she goes, Daddy, you can't get old, you're getting old. I said, you getting old too. But I understand. I remember when my father was doing all these strong things and doing everything he was able to do. But I remember seeing him when he wasn't doing it as much. That's when we stepped in, we started doing it. Now I see myself doing things that my dad and my mother used to do. I'm waiting to see, I ain't got no grands yet, what's gonna happen with my kids? Amen? So what I'm saying, Family Worship Center, is that trust in God. Remember the three E's that I told you about. They're good for anything. Who told me those three E's? Nobody, just sitting up and the Lord revealed it to me. Examine your situation, no matter what it is, no matter what you're in. You have to know what you're fighting against. Exercise your faith. Believe that you'll do better than what you're doing. And then have expectation. Expect for God to move, because trust me, when he shows up, he'll show out. God bless you this morning. Always shows out. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, boy, his seed begging bread. And I know that I'm a little younger than some and older than others and right there with some things I've been through. from things I have not been through yet, things I know I will go through. But I just want to remember keeping God first in all that I do. Because only what we do for Christ will last. Amen. If you're here today and you're struggling with your faith, looking for a church home, or just want something that you just want the Lord to deliver you from. We always talk about sickness. We always talk about finances. But what about addiction? What about alcohol and drugs or whatever? See, because these type of things can cause you to make bad choices. And some of these choices can affect you for the rest of your life. But God can cure and heal anybody of anything. If I were you today, if you want to step out, we're here for you.